Father, thankful for your goodness to us, for your grace and for your mercy, for your call upon our lives, for the fact that you know our name, you call our name, you love us, you make us yours, you call us your children, your ambassadors, your bride, your army, your lights, your leaven, your salt in this earth. So, Father, now as we think about these things, Holy Spirit, I beg you in the name of Jesus to fall upon us in fresh and new ways, that we might be transformed by your power. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's become almost proverbial to say that our world is in a mess. And that our society is very troubled, with everything from wars around the globe to the growing disparity between rich and poor, to substance abuse that is rampant across the land, to a moral order that seems like it's just gone all to chaos, to absentee fathers and all these different things that we see that trouble us. And we're faced with these things all the time. You just have to watch the news or read Newsweek or Time magazine or Maclean's magazine. And whatever it is, we see that there is trouble in the creation. Trouble in the world. And what's perhaps worse for us is that as we see this and as we experience this, the Christian witness is lost at best and mocked and ignored at worst. And the challenge that's laid before us is difficult and hard because, you see, God says we're to be the salt and the light and the leaven in this world. As a matter of fact, it seems sometimes that the darkness is so heavy that it's easy for us as Christians to just sort of want to withdraw and batten down the hatches, to make ourselves into a little enclave where we talk to each other, where we raise up the drawbridge and make this castle, and we just kind of hope and hang on, and we'll make it if we can until Jesus comes back. And there's this sense of withdrawal and fear even amongst Christians in the church because society seems like it's so dark and the problems of the globe appear to be so immense. It's easy to run away, and yet God has called us to something different. A few weeks ago, I was really wrestling with this whole issue and complaining to God, I suppose, in a sense, about how the battle is so hard and the problems are so huge and the darkness is so thick and all of these things. And God really, I think, stirred in my heart again the sense that we are the church and that the church is the hope of the world. That Christians are the one who carry the message of hope and of grace and of healing and of strength and of redemption and all of these things. And it began to stir in my heart again, some sense of this. And it was in the midst of this that I read a little article that I suppose that because that was going on, that I was so open to it. It's written by a fellow by the name of Mark Batterson. And the article is called Chase the Lion, the Guts, the Courage of Leadership. And Batterson does an interesting thing. He goes into the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, in chapter 23, what's happening is sort of the end of David's life, and he's just sort of summing these things up, and he ends the chapter by talking about some of the mighty warriors that David had around him. And he lists them all through. They are of the 30, and they are of the 3, and all of these different things. And then he speaks about one guy who was, in fact, in charge or the boss of the bodyguard of David. And it says some interesting thing about this fellow. His name is Benaiah. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel. He performed great exploits. Benaiah chased a lion down into a pit. Then, despite the snow and the slippery ground, he caught the lion and he killed it. No wonder David put him in charge of his bodyguard. And Batson goes on to say, you know, what we need in this day and in this age are people of God who are ready to chase down the lion, chase it into a pit, climb down and fight it in spite of the fact that it's snowy ground. You see, sometimes it feels to us as though this lion of darkness, the Bible says that the enemy, Satan, roams around the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes it seems that the lion is rushing at us and the world is coming at and in the force of darkness are falling apart and people live in misery and starvation and hunger and prostitution and addictions and all of these different things that people get caught up into. And sometimes it seems that the lion is powerful and attacking us with darkness. And it's so easy to run away from the lion, but that is not what we are called to do as Christians. Instead, we are to be like Benaniah, who chased the lion. How different that is. If a lion's around, it's probably going to be chasing me. But he says, no, the people of God, they chase the lion. They take the battle to the lion. And then you know what they do? They chase the lion into the pit. And then they don't say that that's just good enough, now we're done. They jump into the pit with the lion. You know, that's commitment. Because let me tell you, once you're in a pit with a lion, you're not getting out without a fight. And this is exactly what Benaniah did. He saw the lion was in there. He saw the force of darkness in there. He didn't say that was good enough that he put on the run. He jumped into the pit. And though the footing was unsure and slippery, he wrestled this lion down. When he slipped in the mud, he picked himself up again. He wrestled the lion and he killed it. And this, as Christians, is what we are called to be and to do. To recognize that the darkness is out there in the world, that people's lives are being crushed, that the life and joy and peace and all of that is being sucked out of them. We as Christians are called to chase the lion down, jump into the pit, and kill the lion. That's what we are as the church. That's what we're called to be and to do as Christians. And as I was thinking about all of these things, God's Spirit was asking me questions. Questions about myself and questions about us as a church, as the body of Christ, as the army of Christ, as the bride of Christ, as those who are called to be lion chasers, not lion runawayers. And God said in Christ's Spirit, can we not have a children's ministry that is a national pace setter? In causing children to know that they are precious to God and precious to God's people. Can we not have a children's ministry that helps deliver families from the insanity of the hyperactivity and the pressure and the economic constraints in which most of us are signed up for? In Christ's Spirit, can we not have a youth ministry that sets teens on fire for God and has them aspire to live a life of passionately pursuing Christ so that they are on the cutting edge of God's ministry of reconciliation to all creation? How critical it is that we as a church have a ministry that does exactly these things. Because the earth is a mess. Creation groans under the curse of sin. And the Bible says through Paul, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God, the children of God, to be revealed. Can we not be a church and have a youth ministry where the children of God are revealed in them and free the earth of its groaning? Can we not have a youth ministry that raises up teens to take on and take over the principalities and the powers of this world? You know what it says in Colossians? It says this. For by him, it's talking about Jesus. For by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and all things were created for him. The King James Version calls those things the principalities and powers. In society, there's basically five of them. Business and industry. Government, education, family, and entertainment. Can we not have a youth ministry that raises up people to stand on the cutting edge of the ministry and to take those principalities and powers back for Jesus? I want to talk a bit more about entertainment because I'm going to tell you something. It picks me off that entertainment has been taken over by the forces of darkness. Unfortunately, you won't be able to watch the Academy Awards tonight because you'll be here at the annual meeting. But should you be there? You'll see how entertainment is being used to shape and to form society. And somehow the church has abdicated its responsibility, abdicated its calling to use entertainment for the glory of God. Somehow we've got in our mind this heresy that entertainment is bad and should be something that shouldn't be in the church or in the world or the church shouldn't use. Let me tell you something. Jesus was one of the best entertainers there was and there ever been. Because you see, how did he draw in people? He did it through entertainment. They're called parables. They're called stories. That's entertainment. Entertainment just means to capture the imagination. And it's time that we raised up our young people to be involved in that industry and to take it back for the sake of Jesus Christ. Because that is one of the major shaping forces of our society. Can we not have a church that raises up young people to take back the principalities and powers for the name of Christ? Can we not have a church and a youth ministry that raises up youth who will reclaim the people for whom Christ died? You see, it seems to me that for too long, churches and Christian parents have just sort of hoped to Jesus that our daughters don't get pregnant out of wedlock and our sons don't get caught smoking weed behind the shed. And that's about the highest thing that all too often kids are offered up. I mean, would you sign up for something in your life that the best that they can hope for is that it won't get you into trouble? I wouldn't sign up for that, and neither would you. So why on earth should our teens sign up for that? No, we're to have a youth ministry. Can we not have a youth ministry that so equips and empowers students to be such passionate pursuers of Jesus that the very forces of darkness tremble when our kids walk into the room? That is youth ministry. That is the calling. That is what it is to raise up lion chasers in Christ's spirit. Can we not ensure that every single parent in this city has affordable, quality, Christ-centered childcare and equally important personal community for the mums and the dads who are struggling minute by minute to try and hold it together? Can we not become friends and create community in that through Glory Garden because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and hinder them not, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I pray to Jesus that I never forget the day. A few years ago when Sheen and I, for about a year there, we helped out in Glory Garden. And I pray I never forget the day I had two little boys sitting on my knee. And they were listening to a Bible story. And in grade school, I told you this story before. And one of them turns to say something to me. And as he does that, his face brushes against my face. 6 o'clock in the evening, and the 6 o'clock shadow is there. And this little boy says to me, "What do you have stuck on your face?" And I realized that this little boy had not been around a man. He was like 8, 9 years old. He had not been around a man close enough to know that we get whiskers. Nobody had been there to give him a whisker rub. Nobody had wrestled with him. And I said, "Jesus, who's going to teach this little boy to be a man? Who's going to teach this little boy to stand up? Who's going to teach this little boy to be somebody who passionately chases after God with all of their strength? Who's going to teach this little boy these things? Because he doesn't even know what whiskers are. He's 9 years old. And the Spirit said to me, "The church is. You are. God's men are." Can we not, by God's Spirit, have a church that raises up these boys and these girls into men and women of God? In Christ's Spirit, can we not have a women's ministry where all are welcome and all support each other in Christ through prayer and through friendship and face the challenges of society that demands too much of women today, that says you can have it all and have energy left over to spur? Can we not have a women's ministry that girds them up and lifts them up and binds together their brokenness? Can we not have a men's ministry that encourages men to live lives that reflect the passion and the purity of Christ, the love of Jesus and the fatherhood of God, all in the face of a society that consistently pushes us towards compromise and illicit sexuality bombards us every minute of the day and tries to distract the men of God from the people that they love and the purity of life to which Christ has called us? Can we not, in Christ's Spirit, free hundreds, no thousands of young girls and women from sexual slavery and addictions through our partnership with Servants Anonymous, both overseas and in Canada? Can we not? Can we not, in Christ's Spirit, unleash the arts, the language of the heart, the language of the heart, and fill this city with a creative proclamation of God's glory? In Christ's Spirit, can we not so reflect this expression of the divine nature, the expression of creativity in such a way that when people hit town, they say, if you want to know about how to unleash the creativity within you, if you want to experience what it is to have the image of God stamped in you that's expressed in creative ways, whether it be visual or music or spoken or whatever, then this church is the place to go. In Christ's Spirit, Can we not help the poor and the marginalized in the city and in the world with the dignity of friendship and the helping hands of resources and thereby revolutionize the lives of thousands? There's a movie, I can't remember the name of it. It's out right now, it's current. It's about a single dad who goes from being on the street and raises up into being a big stock market guy. Have you seen the movie? What is it? Pursuit of Happiness. I was listening to the guy being interviewed, and they were talking about when he was living on the street with his little boy and having to line up in food lines and get fed. And they said, what was it like for you? What was the best thing? He said, the best thing, the most important thing, is in that church that did that, they greeted me by name every day, and they treated me with dignity of friendship, and they extended their hand, and they treated me like a person. And that gave me the strength to carry on. Can we not be a church, by God's Spirit, that offers people the dignity of friendship and the helping hand of resources when they need it? But let me tell you something, to choose between the two, the friendship's more powerful. In Christ's Spirit, can we not become a place of such grace and benevolence that when people find themselves in a spot in life that they need help, that the first place they think of is the church? Because they know that here they will have grace, here there will be help, here there will be embracing, here there will be love, here there will be healing, here there will be love. In Christ's Spirit, can we not participate in the delivering of hundreds of people who are enslaved to substance abuse? In some way, can we not do that? In Christ's Spirit, can we not communicate the life-giving word of God in powerful and creative ways that leads to the discipleship of thousands of people? For Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go to all of the people and make them into disciples by baptizing them in my name and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. In Christ's Spirit, can we not this year touch 2,616 people with the love of Jesus? Just by reaching out to four people that you already know, four people that you already love, four people that you're already important to, you no strings attached, but can we not just somehow bless them with the grace of Christ in some way, in some form, and then point to Jesus in the midst? You know, I say these things as the Spirit stirred them in my heart, as I thought about the church and the things that we're called to be, the things that we're called to do. As I thought about saying them, I said, Ali, it sounds a bit too grand, it sounds a bit too triumphalist, it sounds a bit too much like preacher talk. You might remember three or four times a year I try to ring us back to who we are.